Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like a pack of monkeys in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. Comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. My name is Tom, and with me as always are some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid. LT, how you doing, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing okay. I'm drinking some Johnny Walker Swing tonight. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm doing terrific. I'm over here drinking out of my my very cool Sand Jawa tiki glass, and I am drinking Lemmy's.
Finally unpacked the scotch.
Well, terrific. How's then the mood's going well then?
It is.
It should have been the first box you unpacked, but okay. Josh, how you doing? What are you
first
drinking?
First box? Man, there were five boxes.
I'm doing pretty good, and I think unpacking the scotch is a euphemism for something I don't want to know, and of course now it looks like there's a penis on my t-shirt that you pointed out, and I can't fucking unsee it. That's how I'm doing.
And it does, doesn't it? That's all it looks like. That's all you can see.
It's an asshole.
Yeah, it is. It totally is. You see it now. Yeah.
Wearing if people want to see that t-shirt, where could they go to buy that t-shirt, Josh?
I thought we saved butt plugs for the end of the podcast.
No, get it out of the way now.
I'm calling you in for a guest appearance on this show. Mikey, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing okay, and I am drinking a black cherry ale. It is fruity and
fruity and Josh, I don't think we got a chance to hear what you were drinking. What are you pounding down, my friend?
I am drinking a delicious double IPA from Treehouse called Haze.
Haze. Well, that's great. Once again, like I said, I'm drinking Lemmy's, which is mostly Diet Coke, scotch, and ice. Ice being a very big part of this drink because it turns into water. Water is kind of what we're talking about today, because today we're all about Aquaman. King of the Segways pulls it out at the end. Yes! Everyone's favorite, kind of half on Earth, kind of half in the sea, superhero. Oh, name a more favorite. Josh gave me a look. Name one that's better that's half on Earth and half in the sea.
I mean, Namor? Are we talking about Namor?
Fine.
Name three.
Name three more. Aqualad? You kind of like him better,
Topu.
Too.
Topu.
Decided.
Topu. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Who wants to do the origin story of everyone's favorite Atlantean king?
I would love to do the origin story of Aquaman, a.k.a. Arthur Curry. He has had a number of different origin stories, first appearing in More Fun Comics number 73 back in 1941. Usually when we think about comics, there was a lull in superhero comics at the end of the 1940s and going through the 1950s until the Silver Age kicked off. But there were the big three for DC Comics whose titles survived, which was Wonder Woman, Superman, and Batman. But two other characters survived in backup strips. One was Green Arrow in Action Comics, and the other one was Aquaman in Adventure Comics. So Aquaman has had a pretty much continuous history since 1941. His origin has been changed several times. The latest version is Aquaman was the son of the king and queen of Atlantis, but he was born with blonde hair, and it purported to be a bad omen. So they decided, even though he was the eldest son, to throw him onto the surface so he could die because he shouldn't be able to breathe. But for some reason, he was able to breathe and was picked up by a dolphin named Porm, who raised him. Eventually, the feral child was found by a lighthouse housekeeper named Arthur Curry, who adopted the child as his own and raised him. Later on, after his father died, he discovered his true origins, that he was part of Atlantis, found Atlantis, found his brother Orm, also known as the Ocean Master, and reclaimed the throne. He's been a member of the Justice League. He's been a member of the All-Star Squadron and a group called The Others. He's got, because he can live underwater, his tissue is incredibly dense to withstand the pressures of the ocean. So he's basically bulletproof. He's super strong, has incredible endurance and durability. He can swim really fast, faster than a torpedo. He is able to speak and understand any language on Earth. He also has the ability to telepathically control aquatic life. It's not just aquatic life. He can actually use the telepathy on other creatures too, but it's mostly based to the aquatic life, depending on who's writing him. Also, depending on who's writing him, he might have hydrokinesis, and he may be using the Trident of Poseidon, which is a magical weapon. Now, there were some other origin stories. One is his mother escapes from Atlantis and goes to the surface, meets the lighthouse keeper. They have a half-son. Then she returns to Atlantis, et cetera, et cetera. But it's hard to keep track because they've bounced around his origin so much. That's it, Aquaman in a nutshell. What do you guys think about Aquaman? Is he a great Justice Leaguer or the greatest Justice Leaguer?
Well, he certainly is one of the most long-lived Justice Leaguers, and you also forgot another affiliation he had, and that, of course, is the Super Friends. That was, I think, my first introduction to Aquaman was the cartoon that was even before the Super Friends. It was on CBS. Do you guys remember that cartoon?
Yeah, he's the guy that talks to fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that cartoon. They had an Aquaman cartoon in the 1960s.
Where he talked to fish.
Yeah, yeah, he rode Storm and Aqualad rode Imp.
That's right. And if you want to hear more about the Aquapets, consider becoming a Patreon. We have a whole podcast dedicated to the Aquapets and sidekicks. That cartoon was great, actually, and I really enjoyed the Super Friends. But I think in the cartoons, they kind of depowered him a little bit. Because when I got to him in the comic books, he's a lot more of a formidable foe. Almost, but not quite as strong as Superman on land. Tough, strong, powerful, fast. With a host of other kind of, smaller powers. I think they did him a bit of a disservice in the cartoons. What do you guys think?
Yeah, because in the cartoon, he mostly just talked to fish.
I have the sense that I didn't read a lot of the old issues, if anybody read the stuff in the 50s and 60s, that he really wasn't in their league at all. And I think when the whole talking to fish thing came out, I think ridicule is what powered Aquaman up. I think he's definitely gotten more powerful over the years. And I think some people thought this guy needs a little extra juice because he's pretty easy to make fun of.
Well, speaking of a little extra juice, let's talk about some of the times that Aquaman was written by someone who wanted to give him extra juice. Tommy and Mikey, I know you're gonna know this, but who was writing him when he had the giant harpoon hand?
Peter David. In the 1990s, they decided to take Aquaman in a new direction. Peter David had written a 4-issue miniseries called Time and Tide, where he redid the origin story for Aquaman. One of the most important things that he did was create a caste system for Atlantis, which is something that nobody had ever really delved into the geopolitical structure of Atlantis before. But Aquaman was suffering from a tragedy, which we should probably talk about. He lost his child, and probably one of the most famous tragedies to befall a DC superhero in the 1970s. Really, DC was the positive, upbeat company. Marvel was the company where they had superheroes dealing with real-world issues. But in Adventure Comics, towards the end of Aquaman's run there, his child is kidnapped and killed by Black Manta. And the storyline is in 1977, and they'd never done such a tragic turn on a superhero before. And really, it's affected Aquaman for years and years to come. After that, Mira went insane and broke up with Aquaman. So not only did he lose his child, he lost the love of his life. In the Peter David story, he's this brooding guy. He's got the beard and everything. He's let himself go. He's not like the Super Friends Aquaman anymore. And he gets into a battle with a guy who sticks Aquaman's hand into a river filled with piranhas, and they eat his hand off. And he just decides, I'm going full harpoon after that. Gets the harpoon hand and becomes this pretty much deranged superhero. He verges on eco-terrorist for some of the series, but many people consider that run the definitive Aquaman run. Not me, but a lot of people do.
Well, I definitely found that to be a fun one.
So, and also Aquaman earlier on, you know, when his relationship with Mira, he really was more like a Marvel character. He really did have more of the life issues, more like a Spider-Man or some of the Marvel characters compared to the rest of what was going on in DC. They really did deal with more of the day-to-day issues that he would have with his wife and in relationships that a lot of the other DC comics didn't really deal with. That's what I got from reading the Aquaman of Celebration of 75 years.
Yeah, that's on Comixology right now for only $5. I think they're doing it because of the Aquaman movie that's coming out. So if you want to get a lot of different Aquaman stories, that's a cheap digital comic that you can purchase. If you want to see some really cool covers, go back and check out the Silver Age Aquaman's whole run. They're a bunch of really awesome covers. And in fact, I would say that Aquaman's Silver Age run, he has some of the best comics covers in all of the Silver Age, rivaling that of the Green Lantern. Much better than anything that Batman or Superman had in the Silver Age.
And I'll go with that.
Jim Aparo really did some great artwork on Aquaman.
Well, we haven't talked about favorite runs yet. That wasn't really my favorite run. It's just one that I really stands out in my head. When you want to see Aquaman very differently, I think of that run. But, Mikey, what's one of your faves?
So I have become a fan of Aquaman. I've always liked him because he was one of the first superheroes I read about in Justice League number 111, my first superhero comic. He was one of the characters in it. So ever since then, I've considered Aquaman great. And his comics are really cheap to pick up the back issues of. And because of that, I've almost collected the entire run of all the Aquaman solo series that he's had. I'm going to suggest that people check out a couple different runs. First, go ahead and look at the New 52. The first, I don't know, dozen or so issues is Geoff Johns redefining who Aquaman is, and that Aquaman is a king, and how he relates to the surface world while trying to protect the surface world because he has allegiance to them. His ultimate allegiance is to Atlantis. And during the latest run, if you check out Rebirth, you're going to see an entirely different Aquaman. And that is because that goes into Atlantis politics and political intrigue and a usurper to the throne. In fact, Aquaman is such a great character because the writers can do so much with him. Not only do they have the story about Aquaman losing a child, which is horrific, and affects his relationship and his marriage with Mira, he's also got one of the best marriages in comics when it comes to Mira. He sees her as an equal, a queen to his king, and in the latest runs, you can see how powerful she is. She is no longer just Aquaman's wife. She is indeed her own superhero. In fact, for a time in the Justice League when Aquaman was trapped in Atlantis, Mira takes over his responsibilities in the Justice League. He's also got royalty. So if you like the Black Panther and you like the Ta-Nehisi Coates run where he's doing the political intrigue of Wakanda, you're going to love the latest Aquaman stuff because they're doing the exact same thing. But they have the undersea portion of it so they can add all these other different elements. It talks about class. It talks about caste systems. It talks about the underappreciated and the forgotten people of different societies. He's also, in a lot of the different books, considered a mixed race character. So he can get into the fact that he's both surface world and Atlantean, but neither of those cultures seem to embrace him at all. Both of them consider him an outsider, which anybody from a mixed race could relate to. And finally, Atlantis is a magical kingdom. Aquaman's powers are derived from magic, because when Atlantis collapsed, it was the Arion and the other sorcerers who enabled the Atlanteans to be able to breathe. And as a result, he's been infused with magic throughout all the different series. At one point, they did the Athorian tale, and he got a water hand from the Lady of the Lake. So there's all kinds of different magic that they can use in the comic books. So whether you're looking for just pure action, political intrigue, magic, social commentary, or personal struggles, Aquaman has it all. He's not just the joke that they made him on the Super Friends.
Yeah, he's that guy that talks to fish.
Fuck you, LT. Josh, you got any runs?
I don't think I have a favorite run. I don't think I've read a lot of I haven't read a lot of the individual series for Aquaman. I do feel that over the years, as they've developed him, he's become a much more interesting character. Maybe because I wasn't involved in the earlier ones. But I gotta say, Mike, after you mentioned the cover art, I just jumped on. God, I love the lettering for the 60s run. That's yeah, probably the best lettered title I've seen in a while. And the issues are, the covers are very interesting. They're very color centric. They've got a lot of action on them. They're doing some really good stuff on there. I actually just went on eBay, and there's a couple of guys who do like this collages of Silver Age Aquaman poster covers that are pretty interesting for pretty cheap. So maybe I'll go grab one of those.
Yeah, I wouldn't read the stories, but I would definitely look at the covers.
Yeah, they're nice. It's nice artwork.
I want to also recommend in the 2000s, there was Sub Diego storyline. That's Aquaman Volume 6, Issues 15 through 20, where a guy sinks San Diego and uses Aquaman's DNA to give the people of San Diego the ability to breathe water. And so they're all kind of freaked out, like, what the hell is going on with me? How do I eat? How do I poop? Where do I sleep? And Aquaman has to come in and explain all of that to him. It's an interesting series. Again, not one of my favorites, but if you're looking for something a little different and out there, that's the way to go.
When you first said that, I was like, how do we not have that in our horrible villains if there is a Hispanic villain named Sub Diego? But okay. Yeah, storyline.
And I can't believe with Aquaman coming out this year, that San Diego Comic-Con didn't do a Sub Diego theme.
Oh, we should totally do a Sub Diego theme.
If anyone from Comic-Con is listening, and we know you aren't, that one's free.
You know, that reminds me of something from The Little Mermaid. The first moment she got legs, she was fascinated by her toes. I think there'd be other parts of my anatomy that would freak me out more than feet if I lost my tail right off the bat.
You? No, it'd probably be feet.
Fair enough. Damn it, now I owe Tammy another mental dollar.
What about you, Tom? Any runs that you really liked?
Well, as I've talked about in the past, I like the ones where Aquaman's really challenged. And there was one from my childhood that I remembered where he got tossed in the desert. I think I finally found it, but Mike has told me there are more to it than that. But that was a challenge of the Super Friends. Is that what it was called, Mike?
I think it was just DC Challenge.
Yeah, I think it is just DC Challenge. It's a very odd comic book where a lot of strange possessions and things start taking place. It's written by a host of different writers.
Yeah, the reason it's written by a bunch of different writers is because one guy would write the issue, and then the next writer would have to take over from where he left off. That's why.
So the challenge was the asshole writer before you.
Yes,
There were some really challenging things in there. Like one of the writers decided that it was kind of funny to have like Groucho Marx and Humphrey Bogart and other dead celebrities just kind of show up randomly. So you had to explain why that was happening because he didn't. I just kind of wanted to draw Groucho Marx. That's all. So there was some real challenging stuff in there. But one of the things that was kind of fun was Aquaman was just tossed into a desert. He has to find a way to survive. And it looks like he's about to die because the buzzards are circling. And one of the buzzards gets a little too close. And he pulls a cone in and he just bites the buzzard's head off. And he says, and you see his little thought bubble, blood is 80% water. I can survive on that. Bwah. I don't think he goes, but it looks like he does.
Yeah. He could have definitely done it.
Pulls the old tree of woe. Takes down
the Sam the dude of woe. Bite, yeah. Takes it down with a bite. Great, great little scene. It's a fun comic, so I do recommend reading it. The artwork is really kind of cool. I like it. The story meanders and is kind of stupid depending on who's writing it. So that's going to have to be my vote. Tommy, what do you got, buddy?
I really enjoyed the Aquaman celebration of 75 years. Not all the stories were that great. Especially some of the later ones weren't that great from like the 80s. But it was a good sampling. And also I really liked the Rebirth story that Mikey recommended.
Fair enough. Is that everyone? Did everyone get a story in?
I think so. And if you do like Aquaman, you should totally check out Justice League Detroit. That is where Aquaman, after an invasion, says the Justice League needs to be full-time. And, of course, he moves the Justice League headquarters to Detroit, kicks Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, Flash, all the lightweights out of the group, keeping only Martian Manhunter, Zatanna, and Elongated Man, and then recruiting Vibe, Gypsy, Vixen, and Steel. And everything goes swimmingly well. I'm just kidding. It's a bad pun, and it's a horrible, horrible time for Justice League of America.
Well, I have to say, I mean, in his defense, Detroit needs something.
Yeah.
Like that city deserves a rebirth, you know?
Yeah, I like that Aquaman was like, I want to reestablish us in Detroit where there's no ocean.
That does seem a little counterintuitive for his particular denouement.
He was having marriage issues. In fact, he leaves. He leaves Justice League Detroit to go repair his marriage with Mira in the middle of the run.
There's a link there that's pretty good.
I was going to say, to be fair, I mean, if you're having marriage issues and your wife controls water, maybe being away from water, not so bad an idea.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'd be the New Mexican superhero. The Mexico Aquaman, I bring it with me.
Welcome to Justice League Santa Fe.
Have some tacos.
I love tacos.
I love tacos. I fish tacos.
You don't want to talk to those guys before you eat them.
That's in porn taste. Get it?
I see what you did there.
This dolphin there was named Porm.
Yeah. So at least now, for the rest of every podcast we ever do till the end of time, when Tom starts talking about porn, we can just all pretend he's talking about dolphins.
Yeah.
Can it be both? Does anyone have any last words on Aquaman? Of course, we're talking about Aquaman because we're all giddy with anticipation for the movie to come out in a couple of weeks. Who saw Jason Momoa hosting Saturday Night Live?
I saw some clips.
I know there was a clip of him walking around hallways in a towel, which I sent to a friend who loves Jason Momoa. But, I mean, I don't watch SNL anymore.
Was I that friend?
No.
No, I should have been because I love Jason Momoa. I thought he was great. He was really funny. They did a Revenge of the Nerds a bit that was hilarious. They did a couple other things. He was Ogre.
I nailed it.
Except they called him Beef. But every time anyone would mention nerds, he'd, like, lose his mind, and he'd be, like, killing nerds in the background, and the other guys were, like, trying to figure out how to get the frat shit down while he's on this murder spree. Nerds! We kill them all. No, but we're trying to get it kicked out so they don't take over our frat in the big Greek fraternity thing. Yeah, but if we kill them. And then they're like, hey, does anyone even know if he goes to college here? So it seems like a serial killer has been living at their frat house for quite a while. It was all pretty good.
Aquaman the movie was already Aquaman the movie was already released in China, and it has already made over $107 million.
Wow! Is there a fun translation from Chinese to American to Chinese? I'm just wondering, like Super Harry Water Guy?
I don't know. But it had a budget of $160 million, so you can bet they are already greenlighting a sequel.
Truth.
But I'll be seeing it on Saturday. And so this week we're doing Aquaman. Next week we're doing Aquaman supporting characters. And the week after that we will be doing our Aquaman spoiler-filled review. So everybody in the Long Box Legion, before you listen to that episode, go out and see Aquaman, or we will spoil the shit out of that for you.
We will be like an avocado on the all-important seventh day. Nothing but spoiled. Mm. All right, if that's everything we have on Aquaman, anyone any last words? Nope. All right, Mikey, what do you got at the front of the long box for me, sir?
At the front of the long box, I got the return of the Uncanny X-Men. It's now a weekly series being written by several different writers. Josh, you met him, right?
Yeah, I stopped in, and I was pretty sure we had not talked to them before. And I went up and got copies for all of us to get signed, and I put them in front of the two writers, and I mentioned, you know, the podcast, and we're the Long Box guys. And he said, yeah. I've heard of you guys, and I really just thought he was being polite, but he's been on the podcast before, Mike.
Yeah, Matt Rosenberg.
Yeah, you interviewed him.
Yes, really nice guy. Wrote the independent comic Four Kids Walk Into a Bank, which I reviewed on the podcast before. It was one of my favorite comic books of last year. And now he's got the helm for the Uncanny X-Men along with Ed – is it Brisson or Bryson?
Gruberman. I think it's Ed Gruberman.
Yeah. So, it's only 10 issues, you know, though, right? It's not an ongoing series.
It's 10 issues, one a week, and then they're going to be spinning it off into an ongoing series, right?
Knowing
Marvel Comics, they're going to have the all-new, all-different, uncanny, special X-Men, Black Edition, blah, blah, blah.
And starting out number one.
Yeah, starting at number one, because I wanted to collect Uncanny X-Men again, and Marvel likes to stick a big thumb in my eye and my ass at the same time. But that being said, I have read the first four issues of the comics, and I love it. This is the best run of the Uncanny X-Men since Chris Claremont. Boom, I said it.
Wow. That is saying a lot, and that's not me being facetious.
That's called a pirate pig. poking the eye and a poke in the butt at the same time is a pirate peg.
Thank you for telling us about Porm the Dolphin.
You're welcome.
Has anybody else read this Uncanny X-Men yet?
I just have the first issue.
Josh hasn't given me my first issue yet.
Yeah, I don't. Mike likes to mail things between us, and then I just have piles for you guys and then forget to mail them. And then when everybody comes over, I forget to give it to you.
So this is
a great system.
This is why this comic is great, is because they are able to juggle three different teams of X-Men at the same time and give everybody their own distinct personality, and there are some subplots running through it. One of the reasons I really like it is because one of my favorite X-Men, if not my favorite X-Man of all time, is featured heavily in it, and that is Jamie Madrax, Multiple Man, who they show him kicking all of the X-Men's ass, which is phenomenal because he could.
That is awesome.
He kicked Cyclops' ass?
Stop it. Stop it. You know Cyclops is dead. Just don't fuck with me on this one.
So he's easy to take.
Shut up, Tom.
I just wanted to know if he dug up Cyclops and then kicked his ass.
Because a lot of superheroes and villains want to do that.
Because
Serenity
does
make now!
It does make it the best X-Men comic if he goes that far.
Well, that's at the front of the law box. LT, my brother, what do you got at the back for me?
I have Orphans, Collected Addiction by Eric Palicki, Branko Jovanovic, and Sean Burris and Jesse Hege. This was released back in 2014. It's like five issues. But it was a really cool little comic. It's kind of an adventure comic. It's a story of some people that had been experimented on, turned into super beings, and they go after people that are doing the experiments in kind of a black ops sort of way. Tom, I think you would really enjoy it. It's very much in the vein of Wanted and the Kingsman sort of action sort of way.
I do like maybe some action adventure. Not everyone has to have superpowers kind of stuff. So that does sound kind of fun for me.
Who's it by?
It's an independent. It's just put out by Eric Palicki.
Oh, okay.
So it's on Comixology.
Eric Palicki sounds like one of the bad guys from Happy Days.
Really? I thought he was a sub-character in Grease.
Isn't Happy Days in Grease the same damn show?
Pretty much.
No, that's American Graffiti and Happy Days.
Fun Alec fact. Are you guys ready for a fun Alec fact that's kind of tangential, but we'll get to a tangent in a second?
Yeah, sure. Hit me.
Yeah.
Who was the lead? Who was the last band at Woodstock? Who was their front? Who was the last band to play? The big band to go on stage. The big headliner.
Sha-na-na.
Sha-na-na.
It was Sha-na fucking na. How the hell was Sha-na-na built higher than Janis Joplin?
Or the Who?
The
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
The Who played at Woodstock?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think the Who played at Woodstock. How do they get higher than the Who then?
Because they were Sha-na-na.
They were Sha-na-freaking-na.
And it was Pennsylvania.
Are you guys ready for the Sha-na-na challenge?
No.
Bowser.
Name a single member besides Bowser.
Eddie Palicki.
Palicki. I'm sorry, that was a tangent. Josh, you got a tangent for us?
I do. You guys probably didn't read my email. Since nobody responded to it.
I did, and I loved it.
Have you seen it?
Yes, I have seen it. I loved it, and so, I can't wait to pick my path.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Oh,
I saw that. That's going to be great.
So for the folks out there, somebody, you know, random post on Facebook and had this long list of free software, and one of them said, it makes your own choose your own adventures. And I was like – what? How can this be that I don't know what this is? So there's a program out there called Twine. You just go in, you start, you know, you start on a premise, you put in choices. It gives you a visual link to everything, every path to every possible decision. And it, and you can add images, and there's some code you can write to put a inventory management in. So I'm getting into the nuts and bolts a little bit, but straight out of the gate, I'm making a nice, simple, long box guys choose your own adventure story, which will soon be available free to our Patreon members.
Wow. That is awesome. Josh, you loved those as a kid.
I did. I probably still have 40 of them on a shelf. I do not get rid of my Choose Your Own Adventures. One of my favorite iPhone apps or whatever smartphone apps of all time is 80 Days, which is basically a Choose Your Own Adventure with inventory management involved. So the first adventure I'm making is us at Pensacon trying to get from the barbecue place to the trivia contest on time.
You know, we should really do this as a panel at Pensacon. Choose your own adventure with the long box, guys.
Ooh. That would be awesome.
You should get on that, Josh, because I'm too lazy to do anything like that.
Josh, if you can make it, I'll write up the panel description. I just applied for it, as long as we're talking about it. I just put in all our panels today, and I'm going to put all our special events in tomorrow.
Well, currently the initial setup is the first choice you make in the Choose Your Adventure determines which long box guy you are.
Ooh.
And then I have different paths of all of us trying to get back to the con on time. So
only one of us is stressed out.
One of us was so stressed out, one of us didn't go to that dinner.
One of us didn't go to the barbecue.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're Tom and you chose that line, you're there. You're good.
You made it.
Good on you, Tom.
But I will. I'll give it to you guys soon for testing, and then I will continue to expand it until it's complete.
Well, that's great. I can't wait. I that sounded sarcastic. I really can't wait to play it. And that would be a fun panel. Maybe we should do that.
And if you want to check out the Patreon, as Tom mentioned earlier, patreon.com/thelongboxguys for $1 a month. You can become one of our backers, and you help pay for our RSS feed, and you get a special Greatest of All Time podcast. This week we did Greatest of All Time Aquapet. No spoilers on who won.
Josh?
What? No, I already had my thing. My thing's done.
No, I was just saying Josh won.
God damn it, Tom.
Damn it, Tom.
We're part of no
spoilers.
I'm sorry, spoilers.
I'm bad with secrets. But you don't know who Josh puts out there.
Yeah, Josh is not the aqua pet. That's a completely different thing.
A dead, drowned Jew. Just get him on a rope.
Whoa, you went freaking dark.
Whoa.
You know what?
Straight to the Dead Sea.
Really like that joke.
Oh. I'm sorry. It's just a funny visual dark. For me. Can I keep him? I don't see why not. He stopped struggling like 2 hours ago. I guess you can keep him.
Josh, I'm just saying at Pensacon, you might not want to share a room with Tom.
Yeah, we're getting near the ocean, apparently.
Yeah. Stay away from the beach. Speaking of Pensacon, when's Pensacon?
Sooner than you think.
In February.
Josh, you said last week it was like 80 days, so I'm guessing it's like 72 now.
They got a countdown on the website that says it is 71 days, 17 hours, 55 minutes.
From when we're recording.
I was pretty close.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go to Pensacon.com. Check out all the awesome guests that are going to be there. You should also go to wizardworld.com/the New Orleans con that they're going to be having. I got a text message from one of our Longbox Legionnaires today asking if you guys were going to be there because they wanted to know if Tom is going to get his picture with Mike Coulter, both dressed like Luke Cage.
Oh, that'd be great. I'd love to do that. And I got a new crown coming. I finally gave up on trying to fix that thing, and I have a professional prop maker making me a cool new crown.
I am thinking about cross-dressing as Jessica Jones.
Oh.
That's a simple one.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm thinking about doing it. It's the LT method of cosplaying. Find something comfortable and wear that and call it your costume.
Nice.
Yeah, red scarf.
Leather jacket, ripped jeans.
Yeah. Fun Alex boots. Fact. Who? Do you guys watch Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Okay. So the old Meister, what's his name? Pycelle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what character he played in Indiana Jones?
Wasn't he the rival archaeologist?
Yeah. Yeah, Julian Glover, man. When I saw him on Game of Thrones, I was like, where do I know that guy from? It was one of those things I like refused to look up. But wow, it probably took me a whole season of Game of Thrones before I just gave up. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, Indiana Jones, there he is.
Julian Glover is going to be at Pensacon, and I'm going to bring my Indiana Jones movie poster so I can get – I think they got 5 or 6 people from the Indiana Jones that are going to be there. So I can't wait to get them to sign my movie poster also.
Yeah, you hardly ever see – who is the romantic counterpart there?
Karen Allen.
Karen Allen, thank you. You hardly ever see her at signings or anything, so I'm really looking forward to getting my picture with her. She was definitely one of my big crushes growing up as a kid. She was so cool and feisty, and I love that bar fight scene where she's just drinking with the boys, and she was a real big little crush for me.
Yeah, and John Rhys Davies is also going to be there too.
Yeah, I didn't spank it to him nearly as much.
Well, you missed out then, sir. You missed out. Not even when he was Gimli?
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe after watching a few episodes of Sliders late at night.
Maybe in a different universe.
Staring at Josh's cool new shirt. So we talked about Pensacon and we talked about Wizard World. Anyone else have anything else they'd like to plug?
Yeah, I would like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music every week. You can check them out at kirbycracklemusic.com or go download their music at iTunes and or Bandcamp. We should also thank our fellow podcasters who we love out there, NOLA Nerd Couple. They are totally nerding it up with their NOLA Nerd baby. And Who's Next Gaming, they have several different ways you can listen to them or watch them on YouTube. Go to whosnextgaming.com to find all of their links.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go ahead and call those guys the second hardest working guys in podcasting. Those guys put a lot of content on. They work real hard.
Yeah, we're going to try to get one of those guys onto our podcast soon. I don't want to spoil anything because I haven't talked to anybody yet, but I'm sure it's going to happen.
Specifically that.
I hope so. And hopefully when we go down to New Orleans, we can do another one of those joint podcasts where we get ripped off our minds and do the trivia game, because that was a lot of fun last year.
It was. We need to find a neutral sober party to host the trivia. I think I know a guy.
Yeah, I liked it our way. Yeah. You think you know a guy? I know a guy. You might know a guy. We weren't even that ripped. We were almost out of booze. We drank your house dry, dude.
I know. Like, I've got vermouth left. Who the fuck drinks vermouth? Where did the vermouth come from? I don't even know. Oh, LT's wedding. That's
right. I drank about half of that bottle just trying to keep the buzz going. It was not pretty. Well, that'll about do it for us, guys.
You forgot about GeekOrthodox.com.
Yeah.
Orthodox.com.
GeekOrthodox.com. You can go check out the Ring Bearer t-shirt that Josh is wearing right now and tell us if you see a sphincter and a penis in the design. And if you do see it, go ahead and tweet us at the Longbox guys.
If that's all you can see, because that is all I can see.
Actually, it's a very cool t-shirt. And
it is a cool t-shirt.
It's a great
everyone,
t-shirt. Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
Oh, are there, like, dates and stuff on the back?
Yeah.
Oh, that is super cool.
And it's got a bunch of the Middle Earth locations, too. It's like a concert t-shirt for a band called The Ring Bearer. He's got a bunch of cool concert t-shirt themed stuff on geekorthodox.com. You should go check it out, especially now that it's Christmas time. Perfect Christmas present for the geek in your life.
Perfect. Absolutely. All right, I guess that will then about do it for us tonight. Unless anyone wants to plug their comic book shop, I'll plug mine, Kamikaze, up in Cambridge, Mass. They're nice enough that if my box gets too full, they just mail it to me, which is pretty awesome, actually.
That is nice.
Yeah.
Sweet.
All right, and that'll do it for us tonight. Mikey, what's this podcast like for you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
And Josh, we're going to be in New Orleans soon. Which bar is your sector?
What's that little one we end up going to all the time?
On
the
Dana cross street? White's.
Johnny White's.
One of my favorite bars on this planet. Second only to third, fourth. All right, it's on the top five. I really like Jean-Pierre Lafitte's, too. It's right up the street. LT? Sweet LT.
Yeah.
My buddy. What do you got to say, buddy?
I got to say, I might have an offer on my condo, and that makes me pretty fucking happy.
All right, LT, that's great. And as for me, don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Try to promote what you love. You'll live longer. And I love you guys, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. And welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. I am Tom, one of the many, many long
That's
box
horrible.
Guys.
Try that again.
All right. I can take a note.
This is the place where we cast pod.